We're in Ezra chapter 1. The children of Israel, the Jewish people, had been taken into captivity in Babylon because they wouldn't repent of their sins, despite all of God's pleas and beggings and, you know, just... He did all that he could do, short of forcing them to repent. But they would not. And so he brought them into discipline and brought them into captivity for 70 years in the land of Babylon. But he had promised that he would restore them once again and bring them back where they would rebuild their temple and rebuild their city and become a people there gathered in the Holy Land, the land of promise, to Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and their founding fathers. He would bring them back. And that's what Ezra's about, the bringing back of the people, to rebuild the temple, to restore the temple worship. And it is a foreshadowing of a city to come, the New Jerusalem. And it is a foreshadowing of the restoration of the kingdom of God come to the earth. That Jesus Christ would come and that he would set his foot down on the Mount of Olives. And that he would rule and reign in righteousness. And we see that in Zechariah, who wrote during this time, a little bit later, but towards the end of Ezra, the last few chapters there, during that time, he spoke so much of the coming King, of the Messiah, Jesus, who was given by God for us, right? He came the first time to die for our sins, to rise again from the dead, to give us the hope of heaven. And then he's going to come back again. He's going to come in the clouds, and we're going to be with him. We're going to rule and reign with Jesus Christ on the earth. And that is really exciting, and that's our hope. And let's not let go of that hope, amen? That our eyes fixed on Jesus and on eternity, the eternal perspective. Because otherwise, if we let go of the eternal and we get focused on the temporal, we're going to hang on to things. Because we think this is it. And we're not going to let go. And today's message is really about letting go. It's about having an open hand and letting go. It's about giving. Because we've been given so much. And so let's get into it here in Ezra chapter 1. We're looking at verse 5. It says, "Then the heads of the fathers' houses of Judah and Benjamin and the priests and the Levites with all those and with all whose spirits God had moved arose to go up and build the house of the Lord which is in Jerusalem." So we had Cyrus, the king of Persia, giving the proclamation and the permission to say, yes, you can go back to your land and you can build a temple and let everybody who can give to this. And so, first of all, the Lord does what? He stirs people's hearts to move. It says, with all those spirits God had moved, they arose to go up and build the house. And that's where it starts. And that's what our focus was on last week, is the stirring of the heart. Oh, Lord, you're putting something on my heart. I want to do this. But how do I do it? I don't have the resources to do it. But it's in my heart to do it. You see, and that's where God starts, with the stirring, with the moving, with the yes, I want to do this. I'm willing to step out. I'm going to go. I'm going to go out in faith because that's what God's calling me to do. And then we find that God then supplies the resources. As we go along, he supplies. It's like when you're a kid and you have an allowance. And I guess it's like now with those of us, you know, you get your paycheck, and here it is. Here's enough, Here's enough. And so that's our God and how he's working here. And so we get to verse 6, and it says, "All those who were around them encouraged them or strengthened their hands, in the King James Version, with articles of silver and gold, with goods and livestock, and with precious things, besides all that was willingly offered. And so there's a giving. There's a giving of the people. Some of these people are not going. Some of these people are staying in Babylon. They've established themselves for 70 years. The Lord is sending 50,000 of them to go and begin the work, to go and begin to recolonize the area and to reestablish the temple and the temple worship and to prepare for the coming of Jesus Christ, because this temple will be the temple that Jesus Christ comes to. When he rides in a donkey and he drives out the money changers and all of that, and he stands before the Sanhedrin on that Friday morning that he's to be crucified, it's going to be in this temple that they are building. And so, it's a big deal, the building of this temple. It's preparing for the Messiah, who is the ultimate temple, the dwelling place of God Almighty, and we are now the body of Christ. And we are the temple of the Holy Spirit, and that's us. The Bible calls us living stones. You think of the temple building and each stone being built one upon the other, and Jesus Christ himself is the chief cornerstone, the one stone that all the other stones align to make up the perfect building. And we are the living stones. It's us. We're the temple. And God is building his temple and growing his temple. Praise the Lord. And we get to be part of that temple. Each stone being fit together so closely and wonderfully to make a beautiful building, which is his church, his dwelling place. And so, in order for the temple to be built, there's a practical side of this. It's been a lot on my mind lately, you know? The practical and the spiritual. The material, and then there's that faith part. Because we can't just pray for something and then sit back and it just happens. It just materializes. You know, God didn't say, go build a temple. And then they just sat down and they prayed and they said, Lord, who's going to cut these stones? Who's going to put them one on top of the other? You know, go ahead, Lord, do this. No, that's not how it works. People have to go. People have to build. People have to apply themselves. And the Holy Spirit gives the strength in that. To go on, to get up in the morning the next day, to grab that next stone, to put it in place, and to work hard to make it happen. And so there's this marriage, right, of applying ourselves even in our weakness, in our own inability, and then the Lord infuses it with power and with strength and with ability. But we step out and we do. And they can't do until they have the resources to do. They can't go unless they have the funds to go. And so God put it in their heart. He moved them by his Holy Spirit. And then he moved others who were going to be staying. These were the senders, right? We have the goers and we have the senders. Those who would stay back but provide from their resources so that the goers can go. And so that's what we see happening here. Is that God is putting on the hearts of many of the people not to go, but to stay and to gather their resources and to provide for those that are going, because it's an important endeavor and they recognize that. This is our heritage. These are our people. This is our temple. And I would like to go, but God's just not stirring my heart at this time for it. But how can I give? What can I do? And you can see the application to us today, the temple of God. And as people are going out into other countries or even locally, and people who are part of like Go Ministries, Pastor Louis' group, and people who are part of other missionary groups, the resources have to be there for them to go. And those resources come from us. the givers, the people who are staying. And so we've got the senders, and we've got the goers, and God stirs the hearts and shows each one. In fact, you know, the Bible says not to be idle, but to work with your hands. And we can stop there and go, yeah, and we look at the lazy people. And those people are lazy. The Bible says not to be idle, but to work with your hands. But if you keep reading in that section of Scripture, it says why we're to work with our hands. And the reason given is so that we would have more to give to others. Isn't that powerful? That's powerful. That should be our motivation as senders, as people who are sending others. Lord, how can I send more? I work with my hands so that I can make more. Why? So that I can send more. So that I can make an impact on the kingdom of God through the resources that He has provided me. Now, it's wonderful to have the practical needs met and to have our meals each day and a nice home to live in, and all of that is great. But God wants us to have an open hand. God wants us to have an open heart, a heart that gives, whether it be materially or whether it be we're going, because that's a giving too. When God puts it on your heart to go, you're like, oh, I've been a sender for so long. And He's like, yeah, that's great. Now it's time for you to go. But that means I have to sacrifice this and this and this and this, and it's going to be uncomfortable. And what about that and that? And that's what you're giving up, right? You're giving something up to go. And so just being sensitive to the Holy Spirit, you know, some people, I think they have an adversity to wealth or something. Rich people, you know, Christians shouldn't be rich or whatever. Well, when we read in the Scriptures, we see that there were rich people who gave much to the kingdom. And without them, the resources wouldn't be there to meet the practical needs of the goers and to provide the places of worship, you know. There were even sponsors of the synagogues, I think, in the book of Acts, and I'm flying off the top of my head right now, so forgive me. But you know, I think it was the centurion that was like a head of a synagogue, and he was the benefactor of that synagogue so that the people could come and worship, and he became a Christian. And so, yes, wealth is good. In fact, our nation has been such a blessing to the world because of philanthropists. That's a fancy word for people who make lots of money and then give it away. I believe it was Vanderbilt or Rockefeller, one of those guys that made tons of money, but he said, you should work harder at giving away your money than you do at making it. And this particular person, and I can't remember exactly who it was, but he said, oh, did you think that? And okay. And so he said that, and he lived it out. He set up this, you know, a committee. Someone, he set up people responsible for giving his money away responsibly, and how the Christian community benefited from that, and how we got hospitals, and we got libraries, and we got Bible colleges because of the philanthropists that gave. And so we needed them to apply themselves honestly with integrity and by the gifting of the Holy Spirit to their task of bringing in funds so that the work could happen and go out and the resources would be there. You see? And so it's wonderful to pray and ask for God's provision. And He provides it in such creative and wonderful ways. But remember, so often, and we, you know, I've told that story of Pastor Chuck, who was looking for the provision of God, and they needed the money, and they needed it now, and then he got the phone call, and the person there said, hey, I just want to let you know that I'm giving. The check is on the way. And they rejoiced, the check is on the way. And God said, you should trust me and rejoice even before the check is on the way. But think of the other side of that phone. There was a person whose heart was stirred to give, in that time. And because that person was sensitive to the Holy Spirit, who said, you need to give above and beyond what you normally give in an extraordinary way, and this is the time to do it. And that person was obedient to the Holy Spirit, and that was a provision of God for Pastor Chuck and for Calvary Chapel Costa Mesa. Are you guys tracking with me? This is how the Holy Spirit works. And so we're going to have goers and we're going to have senders, and we need to know that our resources are from God, and therefore they belong to God. And when He prompts us to give, and you know, maybe the knee-jerk reaction is, this is a sacrifice. Because when you say yes to something, you're saying no to something else, right? So you say yes to giving to the church or to the ministry or to whatever, the kingdom of God, then you're saying no to what you could be spending that money on for yourself, right? That, oh, I've been wanting to do this, or I've been wanting, we need this new something. You know, and God is saying, seek first the kingdom of God and all these things will be added to you. And so I think the encouragement for myself and for all of us today is just be sensitive to the Holy Spirit in that. Be sensitive to the Holy Spirit in that. Amen. And so giving, you know, the very first place of worship that God instituted in the Bible was the tabernacle. The tabernacle, right? There in the wilderness, He gave instruction to the people to build the tabernacle. So let's turn back to Exodus. I think it's chapter 32. My computer locked out on me. Boo, technology. Okay, Exodus chapter 35. Exodus 35. In Exodus 35, the Lord has given instruction on the construction of the tabernacle, and it's going to require a lot of resources. And the people, you remember, before they left Egypt in their slavery, and God did all the signs and wonders, right? He had them go and ask of their neighbor for articles of silver and gold and all kinds of things. And so they did. And the Lord put it on the hearts of the Egyptians to give. And so they bestowed all these gifts upon the children of Israel, and then they left. And it says, so they plundered the Egyptians. So it was like a battle. You know, you go to war and you beat the enemy, and then you take their stuff. That's what plundering is. Well, the Lord had them plunder the Egyptians, but without them ever having to fight in battle. All they did was ask of their neighbor. And so they had this stuff, and they're traveling through the wilderness, but God had a plan for that stuff. It wasn't just for them and their personal wealth, but it was because God wanted to build a tabernacle, a place of worship to the Most High God, a place to meet with Him, and a foreshadowing of Jesus Christ to come. And how a sinful people can come before a righteous God. And that's a whole nother sermon, right, on the tabernacle and beginning with the sacrifice, which foreshadowed the sacrifice of Jesus. And then the brazen laver and sanctification. And then going into the holy place in the service of the Lord. And then the holy of holies, the presence of Almighty God in heaven. And just how we worship Him today and His presence comes upon us. And it's all because of what Jesus did on the cross. And so that's the tabernacle that foreshadows the coming of Jesus and the ministry and the work of Jesus Christ and His church, us. And so resources were needed to make it. And so the call went out. And God said to Moses, Moses, tell the people, let's read chapter 35, verse 4. And Moses spoke to all the congregation of the children of Israel, saying, this is the thing which the Lord commanded, saying, take from among you an offering to the Lord, whoever is of a willing heart. God always wants a willing heart. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 9 that God loves a cheerful giver, a hilarious giver. You know, to give cheerfully takes a lot of faith, you know, to go, Lord, I trust you. And what you have given me, I want to give back to you and to your work and to the kingdom work. And so, God, I'm happy to give this up for your work. Here you go, God. It's yours. And God, multiply it like the loaves and fish. And God, whoever, you know, I'm given to, whoever the Lord's put on your heart to give to, you pray for them and pray for that ministry. And be excited for what God's going to do, because as we give, we share in the fruit. Another reason to cheerfully give. The Apostle Paul talked about that in Philippians, how their gift that they gave to the saints in Jerusalem, how they were going to be credited for that. They would be rewarded for it. Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, right, that your charitable deeds will be rewarded if done with the right motives, not in pride, but with humility, out of love, given to the Lord. Here you go, God. It doesn't mean it's always going to be easy. Boy, there's those times. Man, there was one time, guys, I sat down to do my bills, and I was short. And I was like, Lord, I'm short. And I said, you know, what should I do here? And of course, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you, came to my mind. Give to me first. I hear that in my head frequently from the Lord. Give to me first. Okay, Lord, you first. Whether it's starting my day, oh, Lord, there's so much to do today. Give to me first. I'll take care of it. Spend time with me first. And all of the busyness, it'll come together. Don't worry about it. I got this. I love it when he says, I got this. You know? And he speaks to us in our present vernacular. He could have said, don't worry, child. I will take care of you today. And that would be good too. But when he says, in my vernacular, I got this. I'm like, yes. Thank you, Lord. You got this. And so I gave first to the Lord. The first fruits belong to him. Here you go, Lord. And I had to hold off on one of my bills. I was like, well, I can't pay it. But it was just a few days later, I got an unexpected check from the insurance company. It was like a dividend thing, you know, that you get. And here you go. And it was just enough to cover the bill that I put off on. And how many times he does that, you know, as we step out in faith and we say, Lord, you first. You first, Lord. Amen. I'm never going to use this computer again for my notes. Just let that percolate. Okay, there we go. Praise the Lord. So with a willing heart, let him bring it as an offering to the Lord, gold, silver, and bronze, blue, purple, and scarlet thread, fine linen, and goat's hair, ram skins, dyed red, badger skins, and acacia wood, oil for the light, and spices for the anointing oil, and for the sweet incense, onyx stones, and stones to be set in the ephod and in the breastplate. How do these poor slaves have all this stuff? Because God worked it out that they plundered the Egyptians. That's what he did. And he provided this for them. He provided it. It comes from him first. He's the original giver. He's the biggest giver. It begins with him. Why do we give? Because he gave. And he's a giver. And we are his children. We're told in Ephesians chapter 5 to be imitators of God as dear children. To imitate him, he has an open hand. And he gives. And he doesn't just give out of his abundance where it doesn't affect him. It doesn't impact him. But he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. This was a sacrifice for the Father. This was a sacrifice from the Father. He felt it It hurt. King David said, I will not give anything to the Lord that doesn't cost me something. When someone offered to give David so that he could give, he said, no, I'm going to give it myself from my own resources. And that's our God. He's the original giver. He's the biggest giver. He gave Jesus to us to be a sacrifice on the cross for our sins so that we can have salvation. He gave salvation. When he ascended into heaven, he sent the Holy Spirit to give gifts to men. The gifts of the Holy Spirit he gave. The Holy Spirit himself is called a gift. Jesus went away and the Father sent the Holy Spirit as a gift to us. And all we have to do is ask. And he gives the Holy Spirit. And that's it. He's a giver. And he gives not just to the righteous, although we, the righteous in Christ, receive the most wonderful of all blessings, but even the wicked he gives gifts to. The Bible says he causes the sun to rise and the rain to fall down upon both the good and the wicked. And so the gift goes all the way back to creation. All the way back to God speaking the world and the universe into existence. And how we appreciate it. Anybody out there just love to get out into God's creation? Go on a hike and look at the animals and the plants and just breathe fresh air and get out of the city now and then? Man, I do. I feel it. The other night, guys, I was so desperate for it. I got on my roof. I was like, I got to get above. I got to see something. Look, there's a mountain over there. Yeah! You know? And just enjoyed the sunset from the roof of my house and spent time with the Lord. It was a beautiful time. I'm going to go up there again. It's a great place. And so enjoying the gift as you go out and you look at creation and go, God, you gave all this to us to enjoy and to be stewards of. His creation. Oh, it's beautiful. And I'm so grateful for it. And see, as we come to appreciate what God has given us, His mercy, His grace, His creation, salvation, all that He has given us, all that He has promised to give us, we are co-heirs with Jesus Christ. He's not ashamed to call us brethren. We're part of His family. We're going to heaven. Eye has not seen. Ear has not heard. Nor has it entered the heart of man what God has prepared for those who love Him. We're going to be with Him forever and ever in glory. And the most precious thing on earth to us, materially, gold, He's going to make the streets out of that material in heaven. It will be under our feet. I mean, that is insane. And I can't wait. And I'm so thankful right now in this moment. And I'm so grateful. And I want to give back. And I want to give back and say, God, you've given so much to me. And I have nothing, you know, what I have to give to you seems worthless compared to what you've given to me. But he says, just bring me your loaves and your fish. Those few little loaves and those few little fish. And I will multiply it. You see? And so we give. And we have an open hand. And we don't hold on to things because it's all going to burn. And we let go and say, God, it's yours. It's yours, God. And I've tried to make a practice each time I give of my resources. And, you know, and even now, I'm giving. You see, I don't want you to get the impression that giving is just material. No, there's so much more that we have received from the Lord that He wants us to give out. In fact, remember He criticized the Pharisees because He said, you guys tithe of mint and of cumin and anise and these little spices. You know, they're like, oh, 10%, 10%. But you've missed the weightier things, the more important things. And he lists mercy and judgment and the love of God. They're not giving these things out that are even more important. And so God does not want our giving to be a legal thing. Okay, 10%. Okay, here you go, God. All right, did my duty there. Now what do I have left for me? You know what I'm saying? But rather, he wants it to be a relational thing. Oh, Heavenly Father, God, thank you for all that you've given me. And now it's time for me to give back. What do you want me to give, Lord God? In our house, we start with 10%, you know, just to keep us keep things from creeping in. But I think God just wants us to say, Lord, what do you want me to give? And then the Bible teaches us to give what as we are able. As we are able, as he's enabled us to give. That's how we give. We give what we can, what we have, and what his Holy Spirit is saying to give. And then it becomes relational. You see the difference? Instead of just, okay, here you go, God. Two, oh, Heavenly Father, thank you for your abundant blessings and all that you've given me. And I want to give back. And I want to give back to your kingdom. And how can I give, Lord God? How can I give and how much can I give? What do you want me to do, Lord? And just wait on the Lord for a bit and then give what the Holy Spirit puts on your heart to give. And now it's a relational thing. And I love it. Let it percolate. So let's read on here in the scriptures. We're in Exodus chapter 35, and we're in verse 10. It says this, all who are gifted artisans among you shall come and make all that the Lord has commanded. The tabernacle, its tent, its covering, its clasps, its boards, its bars, etc., etc., etc. And he goes on and explains all the things that these artisans are to make. And if you skip down to verse 30 real quick, verse 30, it says, and Moses said to the children of Israel, see, the Lord has called by name Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah, and he has filled him with the Spirit of God in wisdom and understanding. Wisdom and understanding for what? Listen. In knowledge and all manner of workmanship, to design artistic works, to work in gold and silver and bronze, in cutting jewels for setting, in carving wood, and to work in all manner of artistic workmanship. And he, that is God, has put in his heart the ability to teach. You guys see this? This is incredible. God has gifted this man's hands and his mind to work with his hands and to create and to build. Do we have any builders out there? Any creative people that work with their hands and love to do art? My wife's a hairstylist, and she works with her hands, and God's given her a mind to do that, to cut hair and to color it and all of that. And I admire her artistic ability in that, because I don't have much of that. I'm not going to say I don't have any, because God's gifted all of us to some degree or another with creativity. We are created in the image of God, and he is a creative God. And so we too are going to be creative people. But some people have an extra dose of that gifting, you know? And so this was a gentleman like that, who God had put in his heart. And not only to do it, but to teach others to do the same. He was a coach. And so what was his ministry to give? It was his time. And it was his talent. And that's what he gave. And I'm so thankful in this church for those who give that. I think of Alex Rascon and his wife Magali and how much they give. You know, they're redoing the striping. They've figured out a solution. I think it's fixed. I'm not sure. There's still trash cans over there, but they're working on the dripping air conditioner. They put this up right here, and they did the Dove. And you see what I'm saying? That's beautiful. And there's others of you that do the same, right? For your different ministries and the women's ministry. And they just had the event in the back, and people got together and said, hey, I want to help out. It takes a team. No one person can do it. And so God stirs the hearts of this person and that person and this talent and that talent, brings them together and creates a team. And no one gets the credit but God. And we just glorify Him. And we recognize that every good and perfect gift comes from above. It comes down from the Father of lights. It's from Him. And because He's such a giver, then we give, because we're His children. And we open up our hands and just, Lord, how can I give? How can I give? And there's such joy in that. And that's why God, you know, He doesn't tell us to give so that we'll mope around, you know. He tells us to give so that our joy will be full. You know, the joy that you might have had when your kids maybe were little, or you have little kids now and it's Christmas time and you get them the gift that they really wanted, and not just the one that they go, oh man, I didn't want this. But, you know, that gift. And they're so happy to receive it, so excited. They don't know that they won't care in 2 months, but in that moment, you know, and you're just so delighted to see them delighted. Oh, this is great. And someone might ask you, how are you doing? Are you having fun? Did you get what you want? Oh, I don't care. What I wanted was just to see their laughing, smiley faces, you know? Oh, and so our joy is full as we give in love and as we give in faith. Praise the Lord. And so you can give of your talent. We can give of our talents to the Lord. And He gifts us for that purpose. We're blessed so that we can be a blessing to others. And so if we back up just a little, the people gave. It says in verse 21, then everyone came whose heart was stirred, and everyone whose spirit was willing. And they brought the Lord's offering for the work of the tabernacle of meeting, for all its service, and for the holy garments. They came, both men and women, as many as had a willing heart. There it is again. A willing heart. Not giving in reluctance. Not begrudgingly. But with a willing heart. Out of gratitude. Out of excitement for what was happening and what the Lord was doing. And brought earrings and nose rings and rings and necklaces, all jewelry of gold, that is, every man who made an offering of gold to the Lord. And every man with whom was found blue, purple, and scarlet thread, fine linen, goat's hair, red skins of rams, and badger skins, brought them. Everyone who offered an offering of silver or bronze brought the Lord's offering, and everyone with whom was found acacia wood for any work of the service brought it. All the women who were gifted artisans spun yarn with their hands and brought what they had spun of blue, purple, and scarlet and fine linen. And all the women whose hearts stirred with wisdom spun yarn of goat's hair. And they brought onyx stones. And I'm just going to stop the list right here because it just goes on and on of what they're giving. Do you see the abundance of what they are giving? There's an abundance. Because God had given them an abundance. And then He said, okay, now it's time for you to give back to the work of the Lord, the kingdom work. And so they're giving back. And what a you know, we talk a lot about the children of Israel, miserable, in the wilderness, the miserable Israelites. And you know, we're often very critical of them. But here's a point of commendation of their giving. And check it out here in verse 2 of chapter 36, next chapter. It says, then Moses called Bezalel and Aholiab, and every gifted artisan in whose heart the Lord had put wisdom, everyone whose heart was stirred to come and do the work. And they received from Moses all the offering which the children of Israel had brought for the work of the service of making the sanctuary. So they continued bringing to Him free will offerings every morning. It's just coming and it keeps coming. The people responding to the call. And then it says, then all the craftsmen who were doing all the work of the sanctuary came, each from the work he was doing, and they spoke to Moses, saying, "The people bring much more than enough for the service of the work which the Lord commanded us to do." Moses, they've brought enough and more. Wow, that's awesome. So Moses gave a commandment, and they caused it to be proclaimed throughout the camp, saying, "Let neither man nor woman do any more work for the offering of the sanctuary." And the people were restrained from bringing, for the material they had was sufficient for all the work to be done, indeed, too much. What a commendation to the people, responding in this way, bringing and bringing and bringing until there was enough and then too much. And what a commendation to Moses and the leadership, who could have said, "Well, you know, maybe we can set it aside over here and we can sell it. Maybe I can get myself a nice house when I get into the promised land." You know what I'm saying? Yeah! Keep it coming, guys! Keep it coming! But he didn't. He said he was content, right? Content means I've had enough. That's what content means. Oh, yeah, I've had enough. And we're to be content. And so the leadership there were content. They said, "Oh, we have enough. You guys have given too much. Don't give so much that you impoverish yourself." The Apostle Paul speaks of that. Give within your means. He says, "I'm not asking you to give to the point that you're impoverished. So someone else is made wealthy because of your giving and you're impoverished." That doesn't make any sense. But he says so that there can be equality. You see someone in need, they have a greater need than what you have. Oh yeah, here you go. And you help them out. You help them out. And so that's how it's to work. And so we see this exemplified here in the Word of God with the tabernacle and a great example of giving and a heart of giving. And you know, the same thing happened when they built the first temple, Solomon's temple. It was in the heart of David to build a temple for the Lord. Remember that? But God came to David and said, "No, David, you're not going to build me a house. Your hands have been too bloodied. But your son will build me a house. I'm going to build you a house." In other words, the Messiah is going to come from your lineage. And David, you know, then knew, my son's going to build a house for the Lord, a temple. You know what David said? "Well, since I can't build him a house, I can certainly gather the materials for that house." And he began to give of his own personal wealth towards the building of the first temple, Solomon's temple, that would be that glorious temple with so much gold and all that, just elaborate. All that giving came from David and his buddies, the rich noblemen. And they gave gratefully and beautifully. And I want you to take a look at 1 Chronicles chapter 29 on this. 1 Chronicles 29. And we're going to end with this. Take a look at verse 9 of 1 Chronicles 29. I encourage you guys to read through this chapter on your own too, but you know, David and his wealthy friends gave so much. And it says here in verse 9, "Then the people rejoiced, for they had offered willingly." They offered willingly. There it is again. "Because with a loyal heart they had offered willingly to the Lord. And King David also rejoiced greatly." Do you see what happens after the giving when we give willingly from a grateful heart? There's rejoicing. "Oh, Heavenly Father God, I'm so thankful that you have given me enough so that I can give. And it is a blessing to give. And thank you, God. Oh, God, bless that. Bless that, you know, and just multiply it." Oh, it's beautiful. And so that's the reaction to their giving. As they're giving away, they're not like, "Oh, man, you know, there goes my inheritance for my children," or whatever, you know. And I'm not saying give away all your inheritance. Please, guys, this is not the message today. This is the message of just don't hold tight, right? Give as the Holy Spirit leads you to give. Don't give up all your wealth, unless God's saying so, and your means of acquiring wealth so that you can never give again, right? But work with your hand. We work with our hands, and we think, how can I continue to bring in wealth, with the right heart and the right attitude, so that I can continue to give and be like a fountain that keeps giving. Instead of, here's everything, and I don't have anything left, and there's no way to generate income, and now I'm looking for people to help me. You see, that's not what God's saying here. But there are some that God would say that to, like the rich young ruler, sell all that you have and follow me, right? But that call's not for everybody. Some of us are called to be senders and to work with our hands and not be idle and to bring in the income so that we can give out. And so David was one of those to send out and to build the temple, Solomon's temple, for the worship of Almighty God. And he rejoices in this, and he says, therefore David blessed the Lord before all the assembly. And David said, blessed are you, Lord God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness, the power, and the glory, the victory and the majesty. For all that is in heaven and in earth is yours. You see the acknowledgement? It belongs to you, Lord. Yours is the kingdom, O Lord, and you are exalted as head over all. Both riches and honor come from you, and you reign over all. In your hand is power and might. In your hand it is to make great and to give strength to all. Now, therefore, our God, we thank you. Oh, thank you. And praise your glorious name. But who am I and who are my people that we should be able to offer so willingly as this? For all things come from you, and of your own we have given you. Listen to that line. I love that line. Of your own we have given you. It all belongs to him. And of what belongs to him that he has given to us, we give back. And if so, what, you know, of your own we have given you. For we are aliens, or foreigners, and pilgrims before you. As were all our fathers, our days on earth are as a shadow and without hope. In other words, there's no hope in the earthly, but the hope is in the heavenly, and the hope is in the eternal. And so we let go, and we have an open hand and a giving heart, and say, God, it's yours. How much of what belongs to you do you want me to keep? How can I use the resources you've given me, whether it's my talents, my time, my money, whatever it is, how could I use it to advance your kingdom, Lord God? And then praying, God, give me that willing heart. Because, man, the more we have, and we in America have much, the harder it is to let go of for some reason. It's interesting, you know. And so God, help us with that. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, God, we just thank you that you are a giver and you give big and you're the biggest giver of all, Lord. And you have given us so much, Lord. You've given us salvation. You've given us hope of eternity. You've given us grace and you've given us mercy and you've given us love without measure and you've given us faith. And you've given us, Lord. And here in America, you've given us great wealth, Lord, so that our refrigerators are packed full and our cupboards have lots of food. And I could probably live a week off of the canned food I have in my cupboard right now. And, you know, it's just, you're just incredible, Lord God. And so, Lord, we pray that you would give us that same heart that you have, Lord, that same heart that you have of being a giver and giving big, that we would have that same heart, Lord, and to let go. Lord, help us, Lord, to begin to think strategically about how we could bring in more, not for ourselves, but to give more and to be a blessing and to advance your kingdom and to have compassion and take care of the poor, Lord God. We pray in Jesus' name, Lord. Please, Lord, as we now want to give back to you thanksgiving and worship, Lord, we pray that this worship would now come from our hearts before your throne and that you would be well pleased with our worship. In Jesus' name, and everyone said, amen. Oh, God loves you so much, so much. No condemnation, brothers and sisters. You are free, free to do what the Holy Spirit prompts you to do. Amen? Oh, man. Hey, there's the prayer room over there. It's open for you. God bless you guys today. Have an awesome week in the Lord.